The Kutas Sikha is Chelik Yudalad, Parshan Itzovim, Sikha Gimel. The Pasuk says, Vahayaki, Avoya Olecha, Koladvarma Eila, Brocha Baklola. And if these things will come upon you, the blessings and the curses, Vashivaisa Elavavacha, and then you will return to your heart. When you will live amongst all those nations that Hashem has banished you to those places, and then you will return to Hashem with all your heart and with all your soul. From what is being said in this parsha, it's understood that what the pasuk is saying, that in the end everyone will do tshuva, complete tshuva, and return to Hashem. Hainu, in other words, shagam yishavar al darkei Hashem, even somebody that violated the ways of Hashem, and so on. Hine al yidei zeh sheyavoy olecha kol hadvarim ha'ela, that because these things will come upon the people, the curses and so on, yisoyder lahashiv al libay, that will awaken a person to return to his the true nature of his heart. Till a person will ultimately return to Hashem. That's the thrust of these psukim. Omnom lefize tzarach lahavin. But according to this, we have to understand mashakosu, what is written in the pasuk. Vahayuki avayu alecha habracha vahaklala. Why then does it say in the pasuk, when these things will come upon you, the blessing and the curse? That we understand when those things which are not good come upon a yid who gaidam l'shvidas aleva, breaks your heart, umuvan. So therefore, umuvan shazuah siba l'seidus tshuva. So this is a good reason. That's a good motivation for tshuva. Havel eich yisaidu b'tshuva al yidei shetavi olav abracha. But how does a blessing coming upon you bring you to tshuva? Why does the Torah include, and if the blessing and the curse will come upon you, you will do tshuva? What is the blessing going to do for you to do tshuva? Well, Mekivin Shazer Kosha Gamalim Ad Lefi Pshudashon Mikra, and since this is a question even in the simple understanding of the psukim, Harayesh Beza Aitmi in the Sefer, it brings up another question. Madua Ein Shum Remez Lekushazu V'yeshuva B'pirish Rashi. Why does Rashi not ask this question and explain it? We know that Rashi takes it upon himself to explain and to answer any difficulty b'pshutas or mikra. Valkein sarach leimar, therefore we have to say, since Rashi doesn't address it, that since Rashi doesn't ask it and explain it, so that means that there is no question, that it's self-understood for some reason, and there's no reason for Rashi to explain it. So therefore, what is the explanation? You can't say that these psukim are merely stating the facts. Hashem is relating what's going to happen in the future. He tells you this is what's going to happen in the future. Blessings will come upon you. Curses will come upon you. And just, you know, everything that will happen in the future. So he says the blessings will come. The curses will come. That's why it says also a bracha. The dafkil of shnei tevis a klola, and the bracha comes before the klola. Why? Kichein yia, because that's actually how it will play out. B'hoya, that was actually what happened. The seder amarosh ubnei yisrael b'vayim l'tzisrael. That's actually how events unfolded. That first the yomim rishonim yu b'yimei bracha b'toyv l'bnei yisrael. The early days of coming to Eretz Yisrael were days of bracha. So the Torah is saying, you will come to Eretz Yisrael, there will be days of blessing, then there will come difficult times. And then after a time when they will begin to sin, will come the other things. So therefore, maybe what the pasuk is simply saying, it's not explaining why they'll do tshuva. It's just simply stating how the events will unfold, giving us the history before it happens, in other words, the future. The reason we can say this is Aleph. Sipara Sidus Bola Halam Bapasha Vayelech, because later in Vayelech, he goes through all the things that will happen. What Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I know what's going to happen in the future, this will happen, that will happen, and he begins to list all the things. But over here, he's not listing that. That is left for later. Beis haksufim lahalam mefurish azel sipur amurois asidim lavi laachar boim leisrael. Later, where it spells out, this is what's going to happen to you when you come. I know what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. Over there, loy niska shamein rabrocha v'atayim. Over there, he doesn't say talk about the good times that'll happen. So when he talks, when it's clear that he's talking about the future events, he doesn't mention the bracha. Here, where it's not likely that he's talking about the future events, for some reason, he does bring the bracha. Ubechlal, in general, hasfarin esenes, it's logical to say she kabbalas hatoyv ba'osid ain't a davar abav v'nem elu mafreya b'darach nevuah. That the future will bring good tidings is not something that is prophesized ahead of time. Fatam, and the reason that we don't prophesize the good things is ki adezeu davar atalu bechirasu shalodim. Because whether good things will happen, that depends on a person's own choice of a lifestyle. The good depends on what you've done, and what you do is up to you. Look at Mefurish B'Seif Pash. I guess in the Seif Pasha, this Pasha, Nosatel V'Necha Yoyim Esachayim V'Bacharta V'Chayim. I've given you today choices of good and the opposite. Please choose the good, the life. So in other words, that life is up to you to choose. The good things that will happen for you is up to you to choose. So there's no way to prophesize that. At the beginning of Parsha Re'e, which is already being studied by the Ben Chamish L'Mikra, it says over there, Sabracha Shetishmu Akolash Im Lo Tishmu, that the blessing will come if you will listen to the words of Hashem, and the curse will come if you will not listen. And in the next parsha it says, Moshe said, "Ki anochi yadaiti es mericha. I know that you are difficult people. Shal pize muvenas avados the kamazana," which explains why he said that, why he predicted. Moshe Rabbeinu was predicting, I know the kind of people you are, therefore I predict that you will stray from the good path. So according to this we understand in our case, therefore to say let's go back to before we start this, therefore we can't say that this is simply telling us what the future brings, because prophecies don't talk about good times. Because good times are dependent on whether the Yidden will make the right choices, and that is up to the Yidden themselves. There's no way to prophesize that. It's all up to, it's not in the hands of heaven, it's only in the hands of the people. So how are you going to prophesize good things will happen? But on the other hand, you might ask, so then why? How could you prophesize that bad things will happen? So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying this with any certainty. He was saying, I know the kind of people you are. So therefore my prediction is that you're going to stray, and if you stray, you'll bring upon yourself bad times. Well, if he's a mavur ben didan, therefore we understand that in this case, Shein kavanas aksumin l'saper asidus, that the pasuk is not trying to tell them what the future brings. Ela shaboyim lahoyer loidia, lahoyidu loidia, but rather the pasuk is telling us that if the Yidden do not choose the right path through their own choice, and therefore, if you make the wrong choices, and therefore you'll end up in bad places, you should not lose hope, because in the end you will return to Hashem, and you will be brought back, and so on. So he's reassuring them that even if you make bad choices, you should know that you will come back. But if now, according to this reading, it brings back the original question, which is, why does he mention, and when the blessings will come upon you, and the curses will come upon you, why does he include blessings, as if that's going to motivate them to do tshuva? So the explanation is, the parasha zu mevayer kinal, In this passage, he's explaining, as I said before, the hergish tzar me'akloli hishtoir is a chayte losha b'tshuva. That when a person feels the pain of the curse, then it'll motivate him to do tshuva. And as the pasuk in fact it concludes by saying, not only to an ordinary tshuva, but to a tshuva which is with your whole heart and with your whole soul. So logic dictates that if it's going to be lead to a great degree of tshuva, that the tshuva so completely permeates him that it goes down to the depth of your heart and your soul, then the motivation for that kind of tshuva also has to be hergish tzar shel haklola, has to be a very deep feeling of pain which motivates you to do a very deep tshuva. That the pain that the people will suffer will also be an extraordinary pain and therefore will lead to an extraordinary tshuva. Through whatever curse that will lead to extraordinary pain. So therefore the pasuk explains that when all of these things will come upon you, the blessing and the curse. So what we understand is what the Torah is saying is, what is the depth of the pain of the klola that will reach, will motivate such a great depth of tshuva is, first will come upon you days of blessing. Umeteva b'nei Adam, and therefore it is the nature of man, that when bad things happen after you've had a good life, then the contrast brings out the pain of the suffering even more than if you hadn't had a good life till then. And this is true both in the amount of pain and so on, the contrast, and also in the type of suffering that you suffer because you had good before. Then it's much worse than if you never had good before in your life. As we know, that when a wealthy person turns into a poor person, then the pain is much greater than somebody that was always poor. Somebody who was always poor doesn't feel the contrast and doesn't feel the pain as much than somebody that always had a wealthy life and now is living a poor life. So in addition to the fact that this is so simple and obvious that even a Ben Chamish Lomika would understand it, this is something that we also understand from a Rashi that we learned earlier. The parsha Re'ei al Pasuk Dei Machseira Sheyech Saloi. The parsha in Re'ei, the pasuk says that you have to provide for a poor person his needs that he is lacking. Dei Machseira Sheyech Saloi, all of his needs that he is lacking. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains over there on those words. Dei Machseira, what his needs are. V'i ata mitzuva l'ashirei, but you're not commanded to make him wealthy. You have to provide his needs, but not to make him wealthy. Asher yechsalei, then he explains what is that he is lacking. Rashi says that this includes afilu sus lirkev olav, that this includes even a horse to ride on, the eved lovis l'fonav, and a servant to run ahead of him, to announce him, and so on. That's something which usually would be considered to be extravagant. So the question has to be asked, since we are instructed by the words previous that you're not meant to make him rich, why do you have to give him this kind of extravagance of a horse to ride on and a servant to run before him? That would be something that a wealthy man would need. And especially that it says a horse to ride on. What does he mean? Or a servant to run before him. In other words, that we're talking about a horse that is there for riding, not for he needs to work, plow his field. He needs a horse to plow his field. No, it's talking about a luxury, a fancy horse to ride on. And a servant to help him plow the field. No, a servant to run ahead of him and announce him. In other words, it's not for the work in the field. So although this is true that the Chazal say this in the Gemara, how does Rashi know that this is also the simple understanding of the words de machseire ashe yechseloi? Hello, so the answer is nemer because of de machseire ashe yechseloi. It says his lacking, whatever his needs are, that he is lacking. Hare mizeh gufa muvan. So from this you understand she'im hu davar achaser loy, that this is, if this is something that is lacking to him, ein ze inyan shel ashiras b'shvilei ledavar achrochi. So since, let's say, a person that became accustomed to riding a horse because he was wealthy at one time and then became poor, so to him riding a horse is a need. This is something which is a regular part of his life, so to him it's considered a need. So it's not something extravagant, it's something which is basic. Even though it may be true that somebody that is not accustomed to this kind of extravagance, it would be extravagant. But since he is accustomed to it, it's not considered extravagant, and it's considered a need. Even if we are expected to give him also the horse to ride on. The calls them move on. So from this Rashi we understand, this explains also why the bracha was listed in this pasuk. Ki bov al yada muzbar, because through the bracha we understand hadavash eichsher vegesh haklola maybe l'day tshuva shleima, how the feeling of the curse can bring you to a very deep tshuva, ad l'b'chol v'alfa v'chol nafshecha, down to the depth of your heart and soul. Kisha haklola morgeshes b'chol oitzma, that when a person feels the pain of the curse in all of its intensity, the hainu, when can you feel all of its intensity? Al yidei shekodma bracha, because it came on the heels of a good life, of a blessed life. Oz b'koicha lo'eir gamatshuva b'chol ma'alasa v'tukva, then it is able to awaken a deep tshuva all the way down, with all of its intensity, b'chol avavcha, in your whole heart and so on. So from the Rashi there, we also understand the concept of there are people that when they have good, the simple base, they feel the pain even more. That's in short. But according to this, we have to understand kavanas akosel levayr shakadosh baruch hu yisave vasibes at shekol echad echad neisrael yaseh tshuva. That according to this, we have to say that the meaning of the pasuk is to explain that Hashem will bring about the circumstances that each and every yid will do tshuva. Ulachayra adgosh shezusha shleimus atshuva tluya betnai shel akdamas abracha lufnei haklala. But this emphasis now, that since we're talking about every yid, so that every yid has to have the bracha before the klola in order to be able to reach proper tshuva. Shelelas is avshara shel tshuva shleima b'misha klola yetzer v'lo yakdamas abracha. So then, what about a person that hasn't had a good life? He hasn't had a blessed life. And he has only, now comes the klola, now comes the difficulties. How is his tshuva going to be proper tshuva, since he didn't get the bracha beforehand, which is hepech kavanas hakosov anal? This, of course, goes against what the pasuk would want to say. The pasuk wants to say that every Jew is going to do a good tshuva, a deep tshuva. But a person that didn't have a blessed life, how is he going to get to this kind of a tshuva? Mavir bazeh, so the explanation is, v'tchilus parashat rei kosov, at the beginning of rei it says, rei anoichi nesen ofechem ayem brocha uklolo. Behold, I place before you today a blessing and a curse. It's a brocha asher tishmu el mitzvah Hashem. The blessing is that you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. It doesn't say in the pasuk if you will listen to the mitzvah of Hashem. It says that you will listen. Umefarish Rashi. So Rashi explains, Asher Tishmu, that you will listen, Al Menas Asher Tishmu, for the purpose, so that you will listen, you will listen. Bapashas Kavanasa Lataritz, that what is Rashi trying to say, on the condition that you will listen. Shabapashtas Kabanasa Lataritz Masha Omar Akasav Asher Tishmu. He's trying to explain what the word Asher means, that you will listen. So he says, it means on the condition that you will listen. Shareza Tnai, that this is the condition. Bahavalila Meimer in Tishmu, because the simple meaning over here, it seems, I give you the bracha if you will listen. Should have said in Tishmu, not Asher. As it says further in the Pasuk, in Lay Tishmu, if you will not listen, then the Klala will come and so on. Kareza Tolli Bepchidus Adam, because it's all dependent on the choice that a person makes. So it should have said im Tishmu. B'cholza Pidush Rashi Al Menas V'loy Im. Still Rashi says it's on the condition and not if you will listen. So what's the difference? The Ma'ay Time of Gufa Shashina Kosam Reisha Asher L'Seifa Im. So Rashi's trying to say, we'll get to the difference soon, from this that the Pasuk makes that change. At the beginning, when he talks about the bracha, it says Asher. And at the end, where it talks about the klola, it says, if you will not listen. Ha-hechach leima, therefore we are forced to say, she'ein pirusha shal Asher tishmu, b'mavonai shal im tishmu, that the meaning of Asher is not the same as v'im. So in other words, somehow Asher is different. So Rashi says, Asher means on the condition that you will listen, and im means if you will listen. V'hefrish bein al menas l'im, what is the difference between on the condition that you will listen to the im, if you will listen? Ubepashtus, it's a simple difference. Haloshen im pirusha, the meaning of if you will, is means tanai hamachayev es kiyume kaidem ladover anitel al yaday. If you want this that I am giving it to you, you have to first fulfill the condition. If you do so and so, I will do so and so. Im yikayim es inin adarush, if you will fulfill that which I request or insist on, then he will give you the reward, which is the blessing. And this is indeed what the pasuk means if when it talks about the opposite of a blessing. If you will not listen to Hashem, only then, after you have not listened, Tavei HaKlola, then Hashem will be forced to bring the Klola. What is the meaning of Almanas? Very different. Pirushay Shadover Nitamiyad. Almanas on the condition means, I'm giving you this with the condition that you will do what I ask. Betanai Elishanas Dover Nitamiyad. I'm giving it to you right now. Elishanas Sinazu Almanas, but I'm giving it to you with the condition, Betanai Shayasa Dover Plane, that you will do so and so. Which is the case in the case of the bracha, that when it comes to the blessing, Hashem says, I'll give you the bracha, but I give it to you with the condition, in order that you, but if you want the bracha to continue, if you want it to continue, then you're going to have to do the mitzvah. So I'm giving you the bracha right at the outset. Now you want it to continue, you're going to have to keep the mitzvahs for the brachas to continue. So the difference is very fundamental. By the klola, he says, he will not bring a klola unless somebody taka violates the Torah. Only then begins the klola. But when the bracha comes, it's al menas, asher, I'm giving you the bracha, and now if you want it to continue doing mitzvahs, then the bracha will continue. Lefiza nimtza, according to this, comes out the ein locha adam yisrael shlekibul zabracha, that there is no such thing as a yid that doesn't get the bracha. The gam misha chato pogam ba'avras haderech v'nenash, because even somebody that has sinned and has compromised and has violated and is therefore punished for this la'achis chato, after he committed the sins, v'davishu hepech abracha, by Hashem inflicting something which is the opposite of a blessing. Still, at the beginning, Hashem starts with blessing. It always starts with blessing. But after the blessing started, when he fails to fulfill the almanas, the condition for which Hashem gives the bracha, lishmiras ha-Torah mitzvahs, which means to keep Torah mitzvahs, ba heipach ha-bracha. Then comes that Hashem takes away the bracha. Nimsa, the inan avur b'pashasenu kol advarim ha'elu shel ha-bracha v'shel ha-klola. So it comes out that what is said in our pasha, that all of these things will come upon you. The bracha will come upon you, the klola might come upon you afterwards. Mevi'in l'dei tshuva, this will bring to tshuva shleima, b'chol nafshach v'chol ma'edecha. Harei ze'inin ha'shayach v'chol lechad v'echad. This is something which applies to every yid, because there can be no yid that can say, I never had any blessing, and therefore I don't feel the intensity of the klola, because it doesn't contrast with the bracha. The answer is, every yid is given bracha at the outset. And only after they compromise, then the bracha is taken away. So therefore, every yid has the contrast between the bracha and the klola. And therefore, it does bring for every single yid the depth of tshuva that is meant to. And in regards to this, we see something very amazing. A shaykh befrat, this man shekedem Rosh Hashanah, yevim d'dine rabba, something that is relevant, especially the time before Rosh Hashanah, the day of the great judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yiftiach losses l'chol echad echad mem nei yisol osa brochem em bli abet al matzavei. Hashem has assured, has promised that he will give to every single yid the blessing, notwithstanding what his situation is. Elisha Moisiv, but of course he adds, Shabrocha tiskai metzle amanasa shetishmu, that in order for the bracha to continue, a person has to do fulfill Torah mitzvahs. But Tam can move, and the reason, of course, is understood. Since every Jew is a son of Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and Bnei Yisrael Heim Bnei Malachim, and the Yidden are called princes, the children of kings, and the Yisraelim Azu, even in other places, the Yidden are referred to as Malachim, as the kings themselves. Therefore, they deserve that they should get everything in its fullest measure, in the most perfect way. As it's explained in a number of places, then when it talks about when a person has an employee that is a yid, and in certain conditions, the feeding the employee comes along with the hiring. In other words, it's a condition in hiring that you have to feed him. So how do you decide what to feed him? So it said in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, afilu im ata oisalem suda shleima b'shaitai, that even if you can never do too much, because even if you give him a meal like Shleima HaMelech had at his height, in other words, there was everything good, the table was filled with all kinds of delicacies, you still haven't fulfilled your obligation in Moim. Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, because every Jew is a son of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and therefore deserves, even from their employer, a suda shleima v'shaitai, everything, the best of everything. And if Hashem says that this is what is the obligation of every employer of a yid, so then if he tells us to do it, then he of course also does it. So therefore he also provides the very best. And certainly that every yid, after getting all of the best, will fulfill the condition that is upon the yid. That you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, your Hashem, and therefore will merit to have the blessing always. And therefore, every yid has to do tshuva, so the tshuva will not be on sins, but rather tshuva in the higher sense, which means a return to a higher level, the constant growth and getting the neshama going back to its origins, to its sources, which means rising level upon level, but not as a result of a sin. And therefore the tshuva will come, will be on the level of tshuva yilah, and will be done with great joy. So this is true of every Rosh Hashanah, especially in that year. that on that year Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, and before it began as a tshuva, and it's written in Geres HaTshuva, Shabbos Oisius Toshuv, that the word Shabbos is the reorganized the letters means return, tshuva. Va'avedasi hi bebchinas tshuva yiloh, shibas hincha rabba, that the on Shabbos tshuva, tshuva yiloh, and with great joy, this will all come to happen on this Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem will give every yid a blessing for all good and the best and the good in the way that every yid deserves, because every yid is a son of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, a daughter of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and therefore everything will be the best, and all we need to do is to maintain our listening to Hashem in order to maintain this high level of blessing.